Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be together once again today on this crisp, beautiful day. And as we gather, today we're going to be talking about mysteries. And one of the mysteries that we have this morning is the fact that we are able to gather here. I mean, the fact that through baptism, our God has brought us faith, and that through that faith, God has made us holy, his holy children, precious in his sight and worthy to stand before his throne. We can describe it all day long, but we'll still never quite understand. But his grace is that big. And what Jesus did on the cross is that big. And so as we gather today, let us remember the mystery of our faith, the mystery of our baptism, as we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us before you, that you came to us, Lord, gave us faith, and by that faith gave us forgiveness, and by that forgiveness made it possible for us to live as your children, to be your children, Lord, and to look forward to the day when we will be with you forever in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us every day, Lord, but especially this morning as we open your word and as you teach us, Lord, I pray that you would also send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we can receive this amazing message, Lord, of your love and mercy, and Lord, also that we would be able to remember this so that we can pass it on, Lord, when the opportunity arises, and that your spirit will give us words. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Open up our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins and receive the forgiveness from our God. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we come to another mystery, another thing that we can explain, but we really struggle to understand, and that is this. God tells us that when we come to him and confess our sins, he forgives us. And that not just we have some general confession, but he works through his people to declare and forgive the sins of others. And so because God has called me into the ministry, I get to do this right now. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's sing to the God of all creation.
Of our God. Morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you this morning. This is the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And Pastor Bob, you can come and read the sermon scripture.
Thank you, Brian. Sermon reading for today comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear it, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and so they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And it is now time for the children's message. So kiddos, if you want to come forward at this time, Mr. Lewis Johnson has our message today.
Good morning, everybody. Come on up. And hopefully I can get back up after getting down here. How are you guys this morning? Yeah, good. We got a lot. Great to see everybody. So I don't know if you were listening to both the scripture readings, the first reading and the sermon text. There was a lot of talk about seeds and water and different things. Did you guys, anybody catch that? They were talking about seeds and different things? Yeah?
They were talking about he put his seeds on the path.
Mm-hmm.
He spilled on the path. Everybody trampled them and the birds ate them up. He put them in rocky soil. They did grow, they just withered because there's no moistness. And then he put them in weedy soil and the weeds choked them out. Put them in the good soil with moist, no rocks, no weed seeds. No one walks on it. And he had a good crop 100 times more than he was planted.
You were really listening. Wow, that was really good. So, you know, as I thought about what I was going to talk about for our children's message, you know, the one thing that really stuck out to me is seeds. And you know what? There's something that everyone in this room, we all have in common outside of obviously coming here today and worshiping. But we each have a seed that has been planted into each and every one of us. Some of you are not old enough to remember, and if you look over there, you see the baptismal font. When we were baptized, God put the Holy Spirit, planted a seed in you, and made each of us his own. And so then it's important, like with any type of seed or plant, it's important that you take care of that. So as in the first scripture reading, they said some people plant and some people water and some people harvest. So there's different things that God calls us to do, but it's important that we all take care of that seed that has been planted in us. So that's why we come to church every Sunday to hear God's word and to be strengthened. And as you guys get older and you get to be maybe a teenager, and you get to go into youth groups, and now you're in a group of other kids your age, and you're still strengthening your faith. And then when you get old like me, then you get into like adult Bible study and different things. But everything that we do is to make sure that we keep nurturing that seed that has been planted into each and every one of us. So I have something that I want to give you to help you kind of remember the seed that's planted in us, and it's a sunflower seed. Now, who knows what's special about sunflowers?
They have a spiral inside of them.
Mm-hmm. But you know something that's really cool about sunflowers? Every morning, they always turn to the east to follow the sun. And as the sun goes from the east to west,
kind of like a solar panel.
Yeah, kind of like a solar panel, yeah, and they follow the sun. So it's important for us to make sure that we're always staying close to God, following the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to give you each one of these to help you as a reminder, okay? But let's pray. And repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for planting the seed in each and every one of us. Please continue to nourish it. And help us to stay close and to follow you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you very much for coming in here. So everybody, make sure you get one before you leave.
Thank you so much, Lewis. And then all the four-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. They're already running out the door. Hurry if you're going to go. All right, and with that, let us open God's word for us today. Folks, to give this word a little context, I think we got to put it into the bigger context of all of Scripture, and especially the first couple, the first three chapters of Genesis, where the story of creation and the fall into sin is recorded, but then also the beginning of John, where John basically puts the birth of Christ into the context of creation as well, and what it tells us is this, is that Adam and Eve were created perfectly and they lived in this Garden of Eden. And then they fell into sin. But when they fell into sin, it was an interesting thing because the way the devil tempted Eve was that he came to her and he said, "Did God really say?" Right? I mean, that was the thing, is that what he was doing is he was casting doubt on the word of God. God had given his word. He said, as my people, this is how we will act. This is the law I have laid down for you. And the devil, at least in part, got Eve to sin by making her question God's word. And it's even a bigger deal when you start to understand exactly what God's word is in all its complexity and entirety. As we start in the beginning of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made without him. And everything that was made through him." And how did God create the world? By speaking, right? He spoke the Word of God in very, very clear terms. John is saying he spoke Christ. And through Christ created the world. And today, Jesus The Word of God who came into the world, and back to John, the Word became flesh and lived among us. The very Word of God that Jesus was born into this world. And it's a mystery, isn't it? I mean, how can Jesus, the one who came to reveal God to us, in himself be the revelation of God to us? I mean, it's just an astounding thing to think about. We can describe it, we can talk about it, we can go in circles about it, but in the end, we still aren't going to fully grasp it or understand it, which is what God means when he talks about his mysteries. The wonderful truths of God that are too big to fully get into our heads. You know, another mystery. I mean, God has lots of mysteries, right? I mean, here's another one. A seed. You ever think about a seed? I mean, it's the weirdest thing in the world, right? You take this thing and, you know, you pull it out of a piece of fruit or something and it can sit there for many years. You know, the oldest seed that's ever been germinated was a seed that was found by archaeologists in the ruins of Masada, an old Hebrew fortress. It was a seed of a date. And some scientists took that seed and planted it. And 2,000 years after that seed was left in Masada, left in the ruins, that seed germinated. And it was a species that we didn't have anymore. Guess what they named it? Methuselah. Isn't that good? Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, think about it. How did that spark of life continue in that seed for 2,000 years laying in the desert and still have the capability of coming to life and creating that plant? I mean, I can't even figure out how a seed from last season comes back to life and creates a plant. But the mystery of a seed, it's insane. We can talk about it. We can break it down into stages. We can study it. But at the end, it's a mystery. We don't understand. We don't know exactly how that works. And it's an amazing mystery. You know, the parable of the sower is usually what this is called, but I'd really rather rename it because I think it's much more about the seed. You know, the sower goes out and he throws seed on the ground. And later the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, explain this parable to us. We don't get it." And Jesus tells them, he explains it to them, and he says, where does he go? This is the meaning of the parable. He doesn't begin with the sower. In fact, when Jesus explains the parable, he never mentions the sower. Did you know that? You know what he mentions? The seed. He says this: the seed is the word of God. Now here's another mind bender. Who is talking? The word of God, right? So we have the word of God explaining that the seed is the word of God, right? That is being spread out on the ground. And then we have the reception of the word of God. How is it received by the ground, or I guess for us, the people, right? As Jesus is explaining. And well, the first people, when Christ is declared, when Jesus is spoken to them, the first group of people just put up a wall and don't let him in. They simply say no. And you know, the title for the sermon today is Intentional Faith. Well, this is the very opposite of intentional faith. This is the intentional not having faith. That the person who hears Christ preached, hears the word of God, says absolutely not, and does not let that faith begin, does not let that word have any part in them, simply holds it out and says no. And the seed does not get in. And the person does not, the seed doesn't germinate in them, and they have no faith. Second group, right? Lets the faith in. But when they let the faith in, there is absolutely no intentionality to it at all. They let the faith in. The seed germinates because the mystery of God and the power of God and the strength of his word. And faith is begun, but almost as immediately it goes away again. Why? Because the faith is not fed. See, here's the thing. One of the things that we have to understand about faith is, like, faith is life. Faith is, and with all other, is the same as with all other life. If life is not nourished and cared for, it's going to die, right? I mean, we love our babies, right? And if you had a brand new little baby and laid it on the ground and ignored it, what would happen? It would not live very long because it is not capable of self-sustaining. It is completely dependent on the parents. And so faith is completely dependent on the same God that created that faith. And if we do not stay in God, stay exposed to God, stay exposed to the very word of God that caused that faith to come into being, the faith is going to die. You understand how this goes? Then there's the people who received the word of God, the faith began, and they did give it some attention, right? Right alongside all the other things that got their attention. And so, yes, they did have faith, and they did give their faith attention. You know, they showed up on church on Sunday, and maybe they listened to some Christian music as they were driving around town, right? Some attention. But their world was full of things that they were giving attention to, right? And so they would give attention to politics and sports and business and what else? Family things. And I mean, just all these millions of things that are surrounding their lives. And there are so many things, in fact, that the person having only so much attention to spread around gave less and less attention to the gospel until when difficult times came, the faith was not strong enough to handle it, and they fell away. So the faith was intentional, but not intentional enough, right? And then finally, there's the last one, and that's the faith. The person who lets the word of God in, the word of God does his miraculous things and brings faith to the heart of the person. The person continues to expose himself to the word of God and to the sacraments, baptism, the word, Bible study, personal devotions, all these ways that we can nourish that seed. And in fact, he was willing to weed his life out. I mean, think about that. I mean, if you have a plant that's growing in the middle of a whole bunch of weeds, it can't flourish because it's competing with all the other things around it. Well, what's the remedy for this? My mom was an amazing gardener for her whole life. You know what she would do? She'd go out and weed the garden. It's not very complicated. Grab and pull. Makes sense, right? Well, here's the mystery for you. So say you have a life and you're struggling to give God the attention that he needs so that your faith will remain nourished. Your life is just so full of so many things. What do you need to do? Grab and pull, right? It's time to start getting some things out. And you'll say, well, wait a minute. I like those things. Okay, now let's be, which is most important? Enjoying this hobby or this thing, or being connected to God in a way that is going to continue to help our faith grow. And you know, the thing is, I think this parable, in a lot of ways, we always think of this parable as about the beginning of faith, but I don't think it's limited to that. I think it speaks to us as well. Because if you look at the epistle reading for today, Paul is talking to some people who've been Christian for a while. And he's telling them, look, I'm still feeding you the most simple truths of the Bible because you are not ready yet for the more advanced truths. And the reason you're not ready for the more advanced truths is because you are not growing up in your faith. You're staying infants. I mean, think about this. If I had a plant and my goal for the plant is that I wouldn't let it die, okay? Now, I'm not saying I want it to flourish. I just want to hold it right on the line of not dying, all right? How well is this plant going to grow? Is this something that's going to stand up to a storm? Is this the thing that's going to be like a resilient plant that can handle a lot of stress? No, this is a plant that is almost dead, but not dead, right? And I think in a lot of ways, Christians have this kind of view of our faith. You know, we will do the very minimal things necessary to keep our faith alive. You know, we'll do things like we'll show up at church once every week or so, right? And we'll read a Bible verse when it's on a billboard. And maybe sometimes we'll scan through a Christian radio station on the way to another one. You know what I mean? And we do just the least we can get away with because otherwise our lives are so busy and they're so full and we have so many things going on. And the question is this how we want to live? This isn't God's plan for us. This isn't what God wants for us. God says, I want you to have life and have it abundantly. And the God that saved us, the God who worked this mystery of faith in us, this God that gives us the mystery of baptism and the mystery of the absolution of sins and the mystery of communion and the mystery of his word and the mystery of the fellowship of Christians by which that we use to mutually encourage each other as we until the day comes when he comes for us again. All of these mysteries, all of these things are God has put around us to give us life and to make it abundant. But we're some really unusual soil that gets to decide how we're going to receive this word of God. Whether we're going to receive it deeply, whether we're going to make room for it in our lives, whether we're going to make it the thing. I mean, on the cornerstone of our church, what does it say? Anybody read the cornerstone ever? Dar, they don't even read it. I'm sorry. It says Christ-centered and caring. What does it mean to be Christ-centered? It means that Christ is the thing in the middle of our life, the dominant thing, the thing for which we will sacrifice the other things that we like so that we can keep this thing alive. This is our purpose. This is our greatest treasure. The faith, this relationship that we have with the Word of God is the treasure that God gives us, that he does through his mysteries, that he gives to us so that we can be secure in him. And he wants us to have that life. He wants us to be so focused on the Word of God that we make room for it so that we will get through the basic understandings of the faith and move on to the advanced understandings and be able to get to the point where we are not just receiving God's Word, but we're able to teach God's Word. That we're going to have words in our mouths when times come for us that we will know how to respond to the difficulties of our own lives out of God's word because we have it in our heads, and that when other people around us experience difficult times, we will have the encouragement needed to help them through their difficult time because we will be mature in our faith. That doesn't just mean that we believe strongly, it means we know deeply what we believe. And it happens intentionally. It doesn't happen by accident. If we're going to get there, if we're going to be the sharpest knife possible, then we have to spend time in the hands of the craftsman who sharpens knives. If we are going to be the most useful tool, we need to let ourselves be shaped by the one who shapes us and the one who's going to use us. So here is what I'm laying before you today. And it's, don't think this is a law thing, because, I mean, it is a law thing. I mean, I'm telling you what God wants, right? But I'm also telling you what God has done. What God has done is he has given us the mystery of this Word of God. The mystery of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that helps us to understand this Word of God by our faith. The God that doesn't just say, here's what I want, now go do it for me, but that he actually comes into us. And as long as we let him, as long as we give him room to work, he does it in us. He wants us to have life and have it abundantly. And here, one more thing. I know you wanted to hear one more thing because, like, I've not been talking long enough yet. But one more thing. This parable ends with a harvest. And the question is, when you're growing wheat, what's the harvest? Wheat? And what is wheat? Seeds. I mean, think about this now. What God is trying to grow in us is a harvest of seeds. Now let's go back to the sower. Who's the sower in this parable? Jesus doesn't define it, because I think it's a whole bunch of people. I mean, it's ultimately God the Father, right? But who does God the Father use to sow the seed? All y'all. Yeah. I mean, all y'all. And the thing is this, is that are you going to be alive long enough to bear seed? Are you going to have seed that is healthy enough to grow? Are, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is what the goal is. The goal at the end is the harvest. That's the goal of any time you plant seed, is the harvest. And the thing is, are we going to live long enough to get to the harvest is the first question. The second question is our seed going to be healthy so that that seed can be cast all around us in the world and more people can come to him? Because we don't just intentionally grow our faith for ourselves. We intentionally expose ourselves to God so that our faith can be strong for the people that God has set apart for us to witness to, for us to help. This is God's plan. It's a beautiful plan. It's a crazy plan. It's a plan that we are literally right in the middle of. So my encouragement to you is this: let God in. Make room for him. Make room for his faith. Weed out your life. Get rid of some of the stuff that stands in the way. And let God grow deeply in you. Be in Bible study. Be in the Word. Not just in a minimal way, but as much as you can, so that he can grow in you into the Christian man and woman he wants you to be. It's so that you can bear fruit, you can bear seeds that can be sown into the world, so that God can do it all over again in the next person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us, your people, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to be so full up with all these other things. Help us not be stubborn and not let you in. Lord, let us, Lord, be deeply in you. Let us take advantage of your sacrament. Let us take advantage of your church. Let us take advantage of your scriptures. And Lord, let us encourage one another as long as it's called today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, as we are continuing in worship today, it's time to receive the offering. As the offering is received, please record your attendance and let us sing to our God and King.
and sing hallelujah to your name. I will follow you through dark disaster and sing hallelujah through the pain. Even in the shadow of death, I will praise you. And even in the valley,
please stand as we sing, as we confess our faith using the first article, the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. We begin, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. I'm now going to ask Pastor Dar to come forward, and he has our life talk for today.
Your life team once a month tries to remind all of us that God loves every stage in life from conception to its natural end. Pastor Bob's suggestion was a very good one. He said, we're going to put that at the time when we confess what we believe. And so this Life Talk is what we believe. This is the Life Talk for February. February is often thought of as the love month because of Valentine's Day on February 14th. But for disciples of Jesus like you and I, love should be at the center of our lives all year round and what motivates us moment by moment. God's love for us and all human life is the center of the Bible's message to us. God especially has shown his love for all human life by sending Jesus to live, die, and rise again to provide for all of sinful humanity a way for a relationship with him to be restored. It comes by faith in what Jesus did for us when he took our punishment upon himself and died in our place. Here's how God's word says it in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made known among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He calls us, his children, to love as he loves. As in 1 John 4:19, he simply says, we love because he first loved us. Loving like God loves means that we are to love other human beings from conception to life's natural end, that we are to place high value on life at every stage, that we are to protect and defend all human life, and that we are to seek to bring everyone into a living, growing relationship with Jesus by sharing what Jesus has done for us all. We want to show our love for all of life by standing on God's truth and by the demonstration of loving acts of service for people in their needs at every stage of life. As 1 John 3, verse 18 says, little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. Your St. Mark's Life Team stands ready to encourage, equip, and help all of us to love like God does. Our February Life Talk.
All right, my friends, let us stand and pray. Lord, we cannot thank you enough that you have made it possible for us to be here today. Lord, that we are able to stand in your presence, Lord, something that a sinner cannot do. But because of what Jesus did for us, because you have declared us righteous, even though we still feel sin and we still sin every day, Lord, that we at the same time are your perfect people so that we can stand with you. Lord, the mysteries. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through your people, that you would continue, Lord, to show us your direction, that we would know what it is we are to do, Lord, but also that you would equip us and enable us, Lord, to give us words to say, to give us the resources necessary to carry out the work that you put before us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that in the middle of all of that work and planning and execution and considering the future, Lord, that we would be able to live through faith, knowing that you will provide for your work and that we don't need to worry as we do the things that you've given us to do. Lord, I pray that you would support us and help us. And Lord, I pray especially for the Life Team, Lord, and for the people that they minister to, that they may know the value of their life, that they may know the value that you have placed upon them, Lord, and by extension that you have placed upon their children, Lord, their parents, that we would value every single life that you have given us. And because each of us have been created in your image, Lord, that we would know the value. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we minister to the children, Lord, especially through our school, but Lord, also through our church and the youth ministry and the confirmation ministry and all the different programs we have. And Lord, today especially, we pray for our eighth grade confirmation class as we are going to be having our confirmation banquet, Lord, after Bible study today. Lord, be with them as they are prepared to make this big commitment, confirming their faith, Lord, and taking a vow of faith in your presence. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to be with their families as well, that their homes can continue to be a place where their faith is nourished and grown, so that it's not something that springs up quickly and lost just as fast, but something that is nourished and kept alive for the long haul. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless each and every member of our congregation, Lord, in whatever point of life that they are in, Lord. We know, Lord, that you rejoice with those who are rejoicing and that you weep with those who weep. Lord, whatever people are experiencing right now, I pray that they would know that you are with them in this moment and that you have them in your arms at all times, ready to give them the strength and the comfort that they need in whatever circumstance they find themselves. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
stronger. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he's ascended, my Lord evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming.
Blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand. the ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man.
In Christ alone we stand, nothing else. The Jesus, his word, Jesus the word, Jesus in this meal, Jesus who died for us. This is the Jesus we stand in. And so as you have received his very body and blood today, and the strength and forgiveness that he promises to give us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together, Glorious One. Thank you. All right, have a really a seat really quick just for a few announcements. First of all, is Rachel Landgraf here? Is she? Stand up. All right, Rachel Landgraf is taking part in a diaper drive at your school, right? Yeah, excellent. And so if we could help her out as they collect diapers for little babies, we kind of like babies, right? Okay, good. It would just collect diapers. How many diapers did you guys collect last year?
Last year we raised just over 17,000, and we're shooting for 20,000
this year. So 17,000 last year, and they're shooting for 20,000 this year. So Jill, I can count on you for 1,000, right? Excellent, very good. All right, very good. And okay, thanks. Also, blood drive in the gym right now. So if you guys don't have an appointment, that's okay. They have openings. So just head on down there, and they will suck your blood. It's great. It's a good way to start the day. It gives you an excuse for not having to work during the Super Bowl later. Okay, very good. All right, then, let's see here. Youth Arizona trip. Guys, listen, this is an incredible opportunity for young people. If you think about the life of a teenager today, almost everything in their life is about them. They go to school, it's about them. They go to church or Sunday school, it's about them. Youth group, it's about them. Sports, it's about them. This is an opportunity to get out and live for an entire week not about yourself. Completely separate. In addition to that, you get to learn about the Navajo culture. You get to learn about serving Christ, and you get to have an opportunity to meet new people, and especially Christian friends, which is kind of a big deal. It's an amazing opportunity. So if you guys have any young people about that age and have any questions, you can talk to either Sherry Haas or myself, and we'd be happy to fill you in on all the details. And last thing, Ron and Lil, can you stand up? All right, this is Ron and Lil Putman. They are unbelievable sweet people that are very near to my heart. Ron, we always called him Uncle Ron when he was working with the property board. They are going to be celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary on Wednesday. And as so many other people here, we have so much to be grateful for in them as they have served us for so many years and just such wonderful, wonderful people that God has used. And so with that, I think that's everything I got for you this week. So God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back as we leave.